The word of God given to us today is Acts 16, verses 11 to 15. Allow me to read the text. From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of the God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Amen. Paul and his companions, who came upon their first Sabbath day at Philippi, a major city of Macedonia, went outside the city gate to a river looking for a place to pray. There happened to be a woman gathered at the riverside, and Paul and his companions also sat nearby. For a long time, Paul preached the gospel that Jesus realized through the Holy Cross. There were several women, not just one, sitting in front of Paul while he preached. However, among the women, Lydia was the only one who listened carefully to what Paul was preaching without missing a single word. This was because the Holy Spirit, who was present at that place, opened Lydia's heart and enabled her to concentrate on the gospel Paul was preaching. Paul was not from Philippi, a city on the European continent. He was pastor of the Antioch Church of Syria, located on the Asian continent. It is over 2,000 kilometers of road if we calculate the length Paul traveled during the second missionary trip after he left Antioch. He visited Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Pisidia and Antioch. Again, places where he had preached during the first missionary trip. He traveled through Phrygia and Galatia and went up to Lystra, went down to Troas, sailed from the Samothrace Seas island of the Aegean Sea, reached Neapolis of the European continent, and finally to the riverside outside the city gate of Philippi. The reason why the Holy Spirit persistently changed Paul's route twice to have him reach the riverside outside the city gate of Philippi at that very day and time was to save one person, Lydia, on that day, at that place, at that very moment. The more we think about this, it was the mysterious blessing of salvation. Verse 15, when she and the members of her household were baptized, Lydia, who received the gospel from Paul, became baptized. She was not the only one to be baptized, but her entire family also became baptized. That is, all those who belonged to her family became baptized together with Lydia. A church is neither a building nor a system, but a gathering of those who believe in Jesus Christ as their master. The the famous church of Philippi, which was the first church to be established on the European continent, was thus established by Lydia and her family. The meeting of Paul and Lydia at the riverside that day did not just end as a touching moment for Lydia, but became the great starting point for her to live as a baptized Christian, creating the body of the church for Jesus Christ. In verse 14, the Bible describes Lydia as a dealer of purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was also a worshiper of God. From the Korean version, which is written as in the city of Thyatira, it seems as if Lydia lived in the city of Thyatira instead of Philippi. But the original version explains that she was a native of Thyatira. Lydia was a native of Thyatira who sold purple cloth. In other words, she was a businesswoman who sold dyed cloth. By describing her as a worshiper of God meant that she believed in God, having been influenced by the Jews, but was a Gentile who had not yet heard the gospel. Among the women in the Bible, there's hardly anyone whose job is stated. This is not only because it was very difficult for women in those days to have a job, but even if she did have one, there was no need to indicate her profession in the Bible. Thus, if the profession of a woman is stated in the Bible, this means there is special meaning attached to the profession itself. For example, in Joshua 2 verse 1, the Bible states the profession of Rahab, the woman from Jericho, as Giseng. The Korean word Giseng is a translation of the word Zana, which originally means prostitute. But the name of this prostitute, Rahab, is stated in Matthew 1 verse 5, which records the family tree of Jesus. That is to say, the reason the Bible states Rahab's profession as being a prostitute is to show that even a prostitute to whom everyone points fingers at can be transformed into a new person in Jesus Christ. Thyatira, Lydia's birthplace, was a city under the rule of the Kingdom of Lydia, located in the west part of today's Turkey. The city was traditionally the center of dyeing and textile manufacture, and the purple dye produced here was considered a premium product. Since its purple dye was famous, it was also natural that the purple cloth manufactured in Thyatira was also famous. The business she started in Thyatira on the Asian continent was further expanded to the European continent, which was also under the rule of the Roman Empire, by Lydia settling in the major city of Philippi. In short, Lydia was a woman of great business ability. In the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago, clothes made of purple cloth were not for ordinary people. The outer garment made of purple cloth were very expensive and were only for kings, aristocrats, or the rich. In other words, Lydia was a businesswoman who dealt with the rich. Just like it is the case today, those who dealt with the rich were usually rich themselves as well. Or if one is not yet rich, dealing with the rich means that accumulating wealth was his or her life goal. The fact that Lydia dealt with the rich means that she was either rich herself or was working towards becoming rich. By stating Lydia's job, the Bible emphasizes that Lydia, who lived a life worshipping worldly values and pursued worldly wealth as her purpose in life, became baptized upon receiving the gospel. From whom did she receive baptism? Of course, it was from Paul, who had preached the gospel to her. How did Paul define baptism? Romans 6, verses 3-5. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Paul defined baptism as becoming one with Jesus Christ, that is, unification. In other words, receiving baptism means being united in the death of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for our sins, putting an end to the old life, and being united with Jesus Christ, who has lived again, breaking death apart, beginning a new life in him. Paul also explained what it meant to be with Jesus Christ in Galatians 3, verse 27, as follows. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. To be united with Christ through baptism means to put on Christ as your clothes. To put it differently, it is putting on the uniform of Christ. In this world, there are professionals like the police, military, doctors, and nurses who wear uniform. By putting on their uniform, they are publicly declaring that they will, with diligence, carry out the responsibilities, the duties, and ethical requirements that go along with the uniform. that baptism is putting on the uniform of Christ is also a public declaration that you will throw off the clothes of the former life and live a life in Christ by putting on the clothes of a new life. Paul, who defined baptism like this, gave baptism to Lydia. And Lydia, who was a dealer of purple cloths in Philippi, received baptism from Paul. To Lydia, baptism was not some religious ornament that was meant to show off her life, like a cross necklace worn by someone who lives a life that has nothing to do with the cross. To Lydia, baptism stood for the action of putting behind her old life, in which her goal was the world's wealth itself, and putting on the clothes of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross as an offering to save her, and making the cross of Jesus Christ her pointer in life. This meant that Lydia, who clothed herself with the wealth of this world, and the Lydia, who had clothed herself with Christ, became one. That a person lives as a baptized Christian who is united with Jesus Christ means that the person clothes himself or herself with Jesus Christ. And this means being integrated with the person who had before been living with the values of this world. We thought about what achieving integration of the self meant when we examined Acts 9, verses 32 to 43, which tells us about Peter's works. Peter, who visited Lydda by the power of Jesus Christ, healed Aeneas, who had been paralyzed and bedridden for the past 8 years. This news traveled instantly, not only in Lydda, but also as far as Joppa, which was 18 kilometers away. At that time, a woman disciple named Tabitha happened to die. The disciples who treasured her sent a message in a hurry to Peter, who was at Lydda, for help. And as a result of the prayers of Peter, who hurried to Joppa, Tabitha lived again. Of course, this news again spread throughout Joppa. But Peter did not leave Joppa right away. Peter stayed on for days after that event. We can guess that there were many people, including Tabitha, who regained her life miraculously through Peter's prayers, and other leading residents of Joppa who would have wanted to have this great apostle Peter to stay at their house. But surprisingly, the place that Peter picked to stay at Joppa was the house of Simon the Tanner. A tanner is someone who makes leather goods. 2,000 years ago, the Jewish people treated tanners as the lowest of the low in terms of social hierarchy and did not even consider them to be human beings. This was because tanners, by their occupation, skinned animals and they were thought to be unclean, having been infected with the uncleanliness of dead animals. It was thought that anything touched by these unclean people also became unclean, and any person associated with them also became unclean. In the highly patriarchal Jewish society, it was unthinkable for a married woman to first seek divorce. But there was one exception. It was when a woman married and found out later that the husband's job was that of a tanner. In that case, she could divorce her husband without any condition, because a tanner was not a human being. Therefore, to stay at a house of a tanner, unless you were out of your mind, was unthinkable for a Jewish person. To stay at a tanner's house would mean that you have to sleep in the unclean bed of the tanner. You have to cover yourself with the unclean sheets of the tanner. You have to, upon waking up, use an unclean bathroom that this unclean person used. And after washing your face, you have to wipe your face with the unclean towel that the unclean tanner used. And also you have to eat the unclean food that the unclean tanner made with unclean utensils. This was surely the quickest way for a Jew to dirty oneself, and no Jew would have done such a foolish thing. Now, Peter was not some Gentile who didn't know about this. Peter was a Jew who knew this better than anyone. But even so, Peter refused the invitation of other people and picked the house of Simon the Tanner, a person he surely should have shunned as a Jewish person. What was the reason for this? What was really strange about the Jewish people who considered tanners who handle the skin of dead animals as being unclean and forbade people from going near them was that not one of them considered the leather goods which were made by the hands of tanners as being unclean. Clothes, belts, shoes, bags. Leather goods were something that Jewish people could not do without in their daily life. Isn't this strange? If Jewish people consider tanners to be unclean and everything they touch to be unclean, then shouldn't they also consider the leather goods which are made with the hands of tanners also unclean and not touch them? Or to the contrary, if they considered leather goods as a precious necessity in their daily life, then shouldn't they at least have refrained from treating tanners as less than human beings? But the Jewish people, although they judged tanners to be unclean and refused to associate with them, treasured the leather goods made by them as being very valuable. Isn't this a scary contradiction, a horrifying double standard? How could there be a greater paradox than this? That Peter was a Jew meant that Peter also had been locked into the double standard and self-contradiction that valued leather goods while considering tanners to be unclean. And that Peter voluntarily chose the house of a tanner as a place to stay means that he overcame this double standard and self-contradiction in Jesus Christ. Now that he had received the grace of salvation in Jesus Christ, he saw that tanners, far from being unclean beings, were also precious children of God, just like he was. So that to say that the double standard and self-contradiction which Peter carried around about tanners were overcome means that Peter of the past, who considered tanners as being unclean, and the Peter who accepts tanners as fellow human beings, who should be loved as the brothers in Jesus Christ, become integrated in Jesus Christ. To live as a Christian means that the self who used to pursue the values of this world and the self who has been clothed with Christ became integrated in Jesus Christ. If you cannot achieve this integration of the past self and the present self, you cannot escape the contradiction of a life of double standards in which you continue to follow the values of this world, although you profess to believe in the Lord. Peter followed Jesus no less than 3 years while Jesus was here on earth. But at the critical moment when Jesus was dying on the cross, he denied Jesus 3 times and became a betrayer by running away. His body may have followed Jesus, but his mind followed the values of the world, and he was caught in this self-contradiction and double standard. But after the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, Peter no longer committed the self-contradiction and double standard of trying to follow the Lord and the world at the same time. By the help of the Holy Spirit, Peter had achieved self-integration. Paul had originally lived a life of contradiction in which he professed to believe in God but denied his only son, Jesus Christ. But after he became captivated by the Spirit of the Lord on his way to Damascus, Paul consistently lived a life which was clothed with Christ. Paul had achieved a complete integration of Paul of the past and Paul of the present with the help of the Holy Spirit. We don't know how she was influenced by the Jewish people, but Lydia of today's text believed in God. But she was still a Gentile woman who did not know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Lydia also lived with a double standard of believing in God, but making the wealth of the world as her life purpose. But the Holy Spirit, who enlisted Paul, who was far away in Syria of Antioch, opened the heart of Lydia while Paul preached the gospel, so that she could accept the gospel. As a result, Lydia received baptism through which she became united with Jesus Christ without delay. Lydia, who aimed for the riches of the world, and Lydia, who was clothed with Christ, had become one in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is a mirror which reflects our past and our future, transcending time and space. Let us see ourselves reflected on that mirror. Can't you clearly see that if we only aim for the riches of this world, then no matter how well off we might be while we are living, our lives will end up in emptiness as a handful of earth in a cemetery. And can't you see just as clearly that the person who will take responsibility for us for eternity when our breathing stops is Jesus Christ, who lived again on the third day after he died on the cross as an offering for our sins? And so before the mirror of the Holy Spirit, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can escape the life of contradiction and double standard in which we profess to believe in the Lord but chase after the world, and achieve complete integration of the self that chased after the world and the self that has been clothed with Jesus Christ. What is important is that only the person who has achieved this self-integration can become the pathway of the Lord, who removes external contradictions and social contradictions. Wasn't the history of men become renewed through Paul and Peter, who received self-integration in Jesus Christ? Lydia, who achieved self-integration in Jesus Christ, also became the pathway by which her family, which was caught in living a life of double standard, was integrated with Jesus Christ. And that Lydia and her family became the source and the base for that famous Philippi church means that they became the pathways of the Lord through whom social contradictions of the times were removed. If anyone tries to resolve external contradiction without achieving self-integration, will only give birth to additional external contradictions far from removing them. Because all actions of a person who has failed to achieve self-integration are outer variations of his or her duplicity and self-contradiction. The reason that so many contradictions abound around us who profess to believe in the Lord is because we ourselves are caught in the duplicity and contradictions of trying to straddle both the Lord and the world. If we think about it deeply, all inner pains of human beings originate from this duplicity. Let us look at our future by the light of the Holy Spirit at this very moment. Can't you see clearly what kind of a life we would not regret when we stop breathing? By the help of the Holy Spirit, let us achieve integration between the self that aimed for the world and the self that must now live aiming for the cross in Jesus Christ. From now on, let us live as true Christians who have been clothed with Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And as a person who has been united with Christ, it is then that my heart will enjoy peace of God that the world cannot give. And no matter to what community I belong, that community will turn into the Church of Philippi for this age. Let us pray. Lord, I wish to live as a true Christian. But I do not perform self-denial, which is the condition of such life. I want my family to be happy, but in everything I demand that they fit themselves to me. I hope that my children will become true Christians. But I do not live before them as an example of faith. I desire to be called a good son or a good daughter, but I do not do my duties and responsibilities to my parents. I cry out for love, but like the tax collectors and prostitutes, I only love those who love me. I pray to become a person of service, but as far as any benefit before me is concerned, I do not give an inch. I do not want to be hurt by other people, but I am insensitive to the fact that I am wounding others with my words and actions. I hope to gather the fruits of truth in my life, but I refuse to become the kernel of truth which is first to fall to the ground to die. I sing of resurrection, but I avoid the cross, which is the starting point of resurrection. Every day I pray that God's help will be with me, but I do not try to live according to God's words. I believe in eternal life, but I actually follow the riches of this world as my life purpose. I confess that I am a baptized believer who has been united with Christ, but I have not clothed myself with Christ. Yes, I was the very self-contradictory Jewish person who liked leather goods but treated tanners as less than human beings. But I thank that the Holy Spirit, who is with me despite all this, have become the mirror of my life and has allowed me to look at my past, my present, and my future. Help me to remember that even if I were to wear the most expensive purple clothes, unless I am clothed with Jesus Christ who lived again, breaking death apart, I will only end as a handful of earth at a cemetery. Free me, God, from the pain of life of duplicity by allowing the self who professed to believe in the Lord but aimed for the world and the self that should live. Having been clothed with the Christ, becoming integrated in Jesus Christ by the help of the Holy Spirit, may my life, which has become integrated, unite others around me with the Lord and be used as the Lord's pathway that resolves the contradictions of this age, like the life of Lydia. Amen.